السلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حتى إذا بلغ شده وبلغ 40 سنة قال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي My dear sweet brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this blessed day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us along with all the Muslims in all of the world. We have to accept the Jumu'ah, we have to accept our ibadat. We have to give them afiyah in this life and hereafter, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We have to make halal easy for us and make halal difficult for us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. We also want to remember just in this week we had a young sister, 23 years old, she passed away in Nayman. Just mentioning this because it's closer to home, it touches harder, right? We just feel it more. So again, you know, always be safe, mashallah, you know, try to be as safe as you can be. She ended up slipping outside of her home, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a jannah for those, give sabr jameel for her family, give sabr jameel for the community, and allow us, inshallah, to appreciate the relationships that we have before we lose them, inshallah ta'ala. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. So today's discussion, inshallah ta'ala, is pertaining to the holiday season that's coming up. It's particularly one specific thing that comes up for our students or our children. And I really want all the parents, inshallah ta'ala, to listen attentively. Because more than likely, right, it's very likely that we'll have certain kids who will have this issue coming up. So it starts with this hadith, though, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had these date palms in this area called Khaybar. Khaybar is very rich in dates, right? And they had this sale that they used to do, where they used to sell, like for example, one bag of good dates, or ripe dates, for like two bags of unripe dates, right? So they just sell some good dates for some bad dates, basically. And so this is, according to Islam, this is a type of riba, this is a type of interest. There are two types of riba in deen, right? There's the riba which is mentioned in the Quran, which everyone knows very commonly, where you give a loan out and expect more money in return. Right, that's the riba which is mentioned in the Quran. Riba al-Quran, they call it, right? And it's called riba al-Nasi'ah. And the other one, we mentioned hadith of the Prophet, it's called riba al-Fadl, right? It's the riba of excess, where a person would do something like this, where they would say, okay, I'll give you one bag of dates, you give me two in return, right? This is also prohibited in hadith of the Prophet, this is also haram. The reason why the ulama say this is haram is because this one can lead to the bigger one which is mentioned in the Quran. Or a person starts off saying, I'll sell dates with dates, eventually they'll go to money, and then they'll lead back to the one mentioned in the Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ prohibited this one as well. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we do this type of transaction. We sell dates, we sell with one bag, we sell with two bags. Two bags, we sell with three bags. The Prophet ﷺ, he gives a very beautiful and amazing, wonderful response, ﷺ. It's something that you and I need to think about and reflect on. This is what I want everyone to focus on. The Prophet ﷺ says, La taf'al. He says, first and foremost, don't do it. He's like, don't do it. It's not right to do it. But he says, here, I'll give you an idea. Go use the dates that you have, that one bag of dates, sell it and get some money off of it. And with that money, the Prophet ﷺ says, Hadith Muslim, says, with that money, go buy the two bags of dates that you wanted. So the Prophet ﷺ, instead of making it one haram transaction, he broke it down to two halal transactions. Instead of making one haram transaction, Allah Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam split it up into two halal transactions. One was for what? Dates for money. And then afterwards, the money will be exchanged for dates. And people might ask, like, what's the difference? You know, you grab the ear bite like this or like that, right? You know, you grab it one way or the other, it's the same. The difference is what? One got the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other one got the anger of Allah. That makes all the difference. One of them was with harb min Allah ta'ala wa rasulihi, right? You were at war with Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The other one, you were in peace and love with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The world of difference there. And that's what a Muslim should be looking for. Where is the hukum? Where is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where can I obtain it? The Prophet ﷺ used a very simple solution to make a financial transaction to a halal one. That's what Mufti Shafi and Mufti Taqi Ismani sahab, Mufti Taqi says it very clearly. He says it. He says that, look, majority of the time, you just find in order to make a transaction halal, you just have to put one extra step in the middle, right? And that's what he said about the shirka with the naqisa, right? The different financial transactions that people have in America, right? There are certain loans where a person can, by purchasing something in the middle, will make it halal. And some people have some issue with it because of the taqwa, that's fine, whatever. But I'm just showing you how very easily in deen you can make something into from a haram transaction, it can be split up and made into something halal. Why am I mentioning this, and what does it have to do with Christmas and things like that? The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't want to nullify what they were doing, but he fixed it in a way that they have a halal alternative. They have a halal alternative. Why is this important and pertinent for our time? It's because of the fact that our kids always see during Christmas time, they always see during Christmas time that their parents who are buying gifts for their children, they see that parents are buying gifts for their children. And then they see Muslims, we don't buy any gifts for anybody. Never, right? Never. When was the last time we ever bought a gift for someone? Anyone, right? Mother, father, wife, anyone. We never buy gifts for anyone. Albeit it is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi sallam to give gifts. And the sunnah of Nabi sallam to return gifts. If someone gives you a gift, you should return one. That's why we have this thing, I don't know if for every other community, but for us, right, in the community, like Bangladeshi community is what? If someone gives you an empty container, if they give you a container full of food, you have to return it full. You just have to. Because why? It's part of deen, sunnah, to return it. Why are you going to return it empty-handed, right? That's why we got so embarrassed when someone asked back for the container, we didn't get to fill it up yet. It's very embarrassing to us. Because why? Because we want to fill a gift, right? We want to return a gift. What happens is what? Our kids find that we are the most boring people in the world. Our Eid is the most dull time in the world. Why? Because all we do is what? We come for a boring bayan in the morning. We pray an extra prayer. They didn't want to pray five times already. Now they pray a sixth time. Right? And then they go home. And then what? Dawat, 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 dawat. After the fifth or sixth dawat, they're all tired and frustrated. Their stomachs are in pain. Right? And then everyone goes to sleep. And then Ramadan, we prayed all our five times. And then that day of Eid, we miss all our prayers. So the kid is getting very mixed messages. And what did you understand from Eid? That Eid is a time where it's a very boring time. We don't have any gifts. We have no celebrations. We have nothing. Then he looks at Christmas. Wow. You know, you have to give it to them. They know how to throw a party. Right? They get the tree out. They get the decorations. They get the festivities. They get all these things. And even the kids, the people who are not even Christian are getting involved. But when they look at Eid, they're like, my God, it's such a boring time. My brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, we have to provide a good halal alternative for our kids. This is what we're facing here today. In America, you're facing this. What I mean? What am I talking about? One student, 13 years old, someone was telling me that she wrote in her post or whatever that she's leaving Islam. Okay, and I'm telling you this is a very common thing in the terms of, like, you know, kids of this age kind of like unstable. But I want to quote exactly what her problems are. She had multiple problems. The most pertinent one is this. She said, my parents are super conservative. My parents are super conservative. They don't buy me any gifts for Christmas, and they don't let me go swimming. Okay? So now, here's what I have. So if we're talking about conservative versus liberal, if we're saying that, like, liberalism is not practicing deen and conservative being practicing deen, better to be conservative here. If we're talking about extremism, they're two different things, right? But if we're talking about people who are practicing deen, I'd rather you practice deen than not practice deen. But the thing is what? If you're practicing deen, you cannot just tell your kid, we're not going to do this. Okay? We're not going to do this, not going to do this, right? If you're going to say something's haram, if you're going to say something's haram, you must provide a halal alternative. You must provide a halal alternative. I complained about this more on Sinwala, we all were just complaining about this, that parents in the time of holiday season don't go anywhere. The kids just stay home. Look, in Massachusetts, 6 months of the year, you're all just at home. The kids are super bored, right? At least what we can do is we can start to create a community where maybe we'll go to one person's house on the weekend. You don't even need to make any food. You don't even need any food for kids. They don't even need to know about food. They'll eat food when they get back home. They just want to play. But what do? They find themselves at home and have nothing to do, and the parents are just at home sitting down too. This is how they're experiencing all holiday vacations. And this is a big problem because why? Because now they complain that this Islam is just so rigid and strict. I don't want to practice this religion, so I'd rather leave it. This is what we're facing here today. So I want everyone to reflect and think about it. What do I do during the holiday time? I don't go anywhere. I'm the most dull person in the world. I should do something for my kids. I should take them somewhere. I should go experience some part of the world. Maybe I didn't want to go because it's super boring for me. That's fine. You could be boring. You could be the guy who sits down. I'm like that too. But for my kids, yeah, for sure. Let's just go do something. Just so they experience that deen is not boring. Why is it that you have to make swimming haram? Is swimming haram aslan? It's actually sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Why is it that we could not find anything? If you want to keep your gender separated, that's fine. That's completely fine. How about you find a group of parents, go to the YMCA, request them for a time, make a gender-separated class, and you can have it then. Why don't we want to put any effort for our kids? We're thinking we're back at home, and I'm sorry for saying it like this, we're thinking we're back at home, and these kids are not exposed to this environment here. What is this environment here? I'll give you an example. If a person's out at sea,
They lost all their water. Even the salty seawater will become good for them. What they're experiencing is what? We make swimming haram, they see their friends swimming. We make all the gifts, there's no gifts for Eid, they see all their friends getting gifts. We show them that you're not allowed to have a phone, all their friends have a phone. They're experiencing everything out there. They're not allowed to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And then what do we say? Marriage, you can't have marriage. No, not until you're 35. Until you get the PhD done, until you get like at least a job and a house and everything like that, then you can get it. What does the Quran say about, mashallah, about a man getting married? Let's look at the most beautiful example in the Quran, probably the only one in the Quran about one man getting married. What is his name? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is, if you all know the story, that he was kicked out of Egypt. He goes to the land of Madian. He goes to a certain area. He meets two sisters there. He helps, you know, feed their sheep water or whatever they needed. And then the girls go back home. When the girls go back home, they meet their father. And they say that they came back a bit early. The father said, why'd you come back so early? He said that this nice man helped us out. He's like, look, he's probably a traveler. You got to bring him back to our house. So then they do it, right? They bring him back. Musa is brought back with a lot of adab and things like that. There are a lot of things behind the story. Long story short, though, Musa comes back to, goes to this man. He speaks to that sheikh, and then the sheikh says, what happened, why are you here and stuff? And Musa says, قَصَّ عَلْهِ الْقَصَصِ. He tells him the entire story. I was a prince and everything, and I used to help people out, and then I was kicked out of my town, and I came and I helped these girls, and I was lying down on the tree, I made dua to Allah, and now I'm here, sheikh, right? And the sheikh is like, man, what should we do with this kid? So then he goes back to his daughter, and his daughter goes and says, Dad, you should hire him, right? And it's a very nice ishara, right? It's an indication of what she wanted. Like, she knows this man to be of taqwa. She's like, Dad, I want to marry him. So she says, hire him, right? She uses very nice ishara words. So then she says, Dad, hire him. The best person you can hire is the strong one and the trustworthy person. So then he goes back to Musa alayhi salam. Now let's put ourselves into those shoes, right? Okay, son, what's your qualifications? Let's see, I don't have a house. I don't have a job. Right? Musa alayhi salam, right? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. I don't have a house, I don't have a job, the only clothes I have is the ones on me. He doesn't even have any shoes. His shoes like melted on the way there. He walked through a desert, mind you. Right? He doesn't even have any shoes. I don't have any shoes. I'm wanted for murder. Right? I'm a criminal. Like, okay, maybe next time, son, you know, no. What is his akhlaq? That's what the man was looking for. He's not looking for anything else. And because of his akhlaq, he marries him off to his daughter. Like, we don't even look at it in the same way. And what is Musa, who is Musa alayhi salam? He's from the Jewish tribe, right? The Israeli tribe. And he's marrying an Arab from Madian. Madian is an Arab tribe. It's completely from a different race too. This is completely in conflict of the way we look at things. We made everything so difficult for our kids. We made everything so difficult for our kids. They go to high school, they go to college, they see all these marriages, these boyfriend, girlfriend, zina happening here, zina happening there, zina happening there. He comes home, Dad, I want to get married. No, son, you cannot get married. You don't have a doctor, you don't have a degree, you don't have anything. You have to become like me, son. You have to be like me. I got married when I was 37. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Look, no matter how great you were, MashaAllah, maybe you had that taqwa and iman. But I'm telling you, after being thirsty for so long, going into this ocean, even the salt water will become delicious. That's what these kids are feeling and experiencing. At least have the conversation with your kids. At least talk to them. Many parents tell me, why don't I talk about boyfriend, girlfriend stuff? I'm like, I know I can talk about it, but I feel like you should sit down and have a chat with your kid. Maybe you just sit down and say, look, this is haram because why? Because in marriage, there's a responsibility. In boyfriend, girlfriend nonsense, there's no responsibility. Allah Ta'ala wants us to have a responsibility. You're responsible for this girl that you married. You can't just play around with the person's life like that. There are very, very easy reasons you can give. But you and I need to sit down and talk to them. Or else they'll think that Islam doesn't have any option. Whereas Islam has so many options. You want to make swimming sunnah? You want to make it good? You can do it. You want to limit their phone? At least make sure you take them out and play with them. You want to make sure that they don't want to celebrate Christmas? Give them gifts. There are so many easy things we can do, but we have to take this approach, my brothers and elder sisters in Islam. We cannot let our culture stop us. There's two things that always stop and make zina easy. Is what? Number one is that we stop our kids. Number two is our culture stops it. We say that, what will people say? What will people say? They're so young. You're not even getting younger than the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Trust me, if I give you the examples, you can be like, my God, they got married so early. Okay? You can create these opportunities and options for your kids, inshallah ta'ala. But what it requires is, before all of these things, is what? We like to shove rules down our kids' throats. Everything's just giving them a rule. This is haram, this is haram, this is haram. They only think of religion as what? This is not permissible, not permissible, not permissible. You ask all these young kids, and I do, and I ask them, what is Islam to you? this is haram, this is haram, this is haram. That's all they know about Islam. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There's a beautiful dua in Surah Al-Ahqaf, and I want everyone to memorize it. It's a beautiful dua. It's a little bit long. Ayah number 15. It says what? Rabbi awzi'ni. This is a man who's reached the age of 33. Hatta idha balagha shuddahu wa balagha 40 sana. It's a man who reached the age of 33, he's prime, and then he quickly reaches age 40, right? Because that time really flies, right? The midlife crisis really flies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he starts to make a dua. He says, Ya Allah, keep me in control that I can thank you for the blessings you gave to me and the blessings you gave to my parents. They said this dua was made by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah quoted him in the Quran. He mentioned him till the end of time. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's parents, by the way, were not Muslims. At that time, they were not Muslims, right? But he continues to make this dua. He says, Ya Allah, I make me in control that I can be grateful to you and I can be grateful for what you gave my parents. Okay, this is something we forget. As rotten students, as rotten children that we are, we forget that our parents have done so much, and we deserve to make shukr and thank them for the things that they've done, right? We have to show them that respect. So he says, Ya Allah, I want to always be in control that I can thank you for what you gave me and what you gave my parents, okay? Wa an a'mala salihan, and Ya Rab, I just want to do one good deed that you're pleased with. He makes his dua, wa a'mala salihan tardahu, that I do one good deed that you're pleased with. Right, and then he finishes the dua, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. He says, and I want you, Ya Rab, to make my children good for me. And he uses a very nice little harf. He uses فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. He says, in my children. He doesn't want it just outside. He says, I want it inside them. I want that my children to be good on the inside. This is what we completely forget and neglect. When you ask a kid, why is he praying? I want you to ask your children when you get home today, inshallah. Why are you praying? Because we don't want to go to Jahannam. That's what they say. I don't want to go to hell. If I don't pray, I'm going to go to Jahannam. They only think of what? Punishment, punishment, punishment. Why are you praying? Why is anyone praying here? Shukran lillahi ta'ala. We're praying because of gratitude to Allah. You know, people have an issue waking up for Fajr. So when you wake up, when you have trouble this time and this morning, inshallah, you know, in your mind it's what? Oh man, I don't want to get up, man. This warm bed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this bed. Allah to prepare the fabric of this bed. Allah prepared the feathers and this pillow that I'm sleeping on. Allah prepared this bed frame 50,000 years before I even came to the dunya. This bed that I'm sleeping on, the eyes that I'm closing right now is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The brain that I'm using to think to not pray Fajr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart that I have that was beating all night that I didn't die is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe I'll just get up for 5 minutes for Allah. What we don't teach the kids is the essence and the spirituality behind it, my brothers and elders in Islam. We don't teach them why to do these things. We don't teach them why, and then they don't want to do it. You always tell them, wear a jubbah, wear a topi, wear a hijab. We never tell them why, that Allah Ta'ala will love you, Allah Ta'ala will appreciate it, Allah Ta'ala likes you for these things. You'll be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't teach the essence of these things. If you're going to shove rules down their throats, don't expect them to change. Don't expect them to change. Expect them what? And people do this, right? They think that, wow, my son is so disciplined. My son is so disciplined. Whenever he's next to me, he's so quiet, he's like a statue. He's so quiet, he's like a statue. My brother and sister in Islam, you are confusing discipline with fear. Adab and khawf are two different things. He's scared of you. Doesn't mean he's disciplined. Discipline is what? Mannerism is what? When you leave, he's still like that. But trust me, when you leave, he's not like that anymore. Okay, discipline is what? That you raised him so well that he knows the values, that even if you're there or not there, the policeman is there or not there, I'm still driving on speed limit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be what? That we are disciplined inside and out. Don't confuse it. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made this dua. And I want everyone to remember this. He made this dua for his parents. Say, Ya Allah, I'm grateful to you for my parents. They're both mushrikeen, right? They're both mushrikeen. They both commit shirk. After he makes this dua, at the time of Fath Makkah, 10, 20 years later, his father accepts Islam. His mother accepts Islam. His grandparents accept Islam. And then he makes this dua for his kids. His kids accept Islam. His grandchildren accept Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, using this power of this dua, he's just being grateful to Allah. We have to replace all the negativity with positivity. When you replace the negative stuff, people's parents do all this stuff to them, whatever, replace it with positivity, inshallah, you'll see change in your life. It might take some time, but inshallah, you'll see the change. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy that we can go towards halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from haram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our children in halal environments at all times. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our children halal nikah, inshallah, ya Rabbil Alameen. And make it easy when the discussion comes up for the parents and for the children, inshallah, that they can discuss this within a way according to sunnah of deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mm-hmm.